Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. These times are always a blessing for us as we get to meet with the Lord. I always benefit from them. They encourage me. They turn my mind back to the Lord, help me to know Him better and know His ways, to walk closer to Him. And I pray that they have that same benefit for you as well, that you look forward to these times and that they strengthen you and encourage you. I look forward to these times each week, these last couple of weeks, last week and this week even more so. Of course, last week we looked at the birth of our Lord as we celebrated Christmas, and by the way, we still are. But as we celebrate the birth of our Lord, our Savior, who came to live, die, and rise again for us. And then we add to that this week, that is the celebration of a new year. And I hope that you have had a wonderful time celebrating our Lord's birth. I hope you're still doing that. And I hope that you have a wonderful new year. But you know, as we start a new year, as we look at it, it's a great time for us to stop, to look at our lives, to evaluate our lives, see if there are any changes that we need to make, see if there are any adjustments that need to be made. And so today I want us to have that on our mind as we open God's Word and to think about what priorities we should have as we approach this new year. Now, as I thought about that and thought about an appropriate devotion for us, I actually came across the Sunday night message that we had in our fellowship. Currently in our church, we're going through the book of Genesis on Sunday evening, and we came to the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. And remember what's taking place there. In Genesis chapter 12, you see God calling Abraham, or Abram as he was known at that point. And Abram, in fact, following the Lord. But then you recall when Abram is in the land, a famine develops. And by the way, Lot, his nephew, has come with him. And when a famine arises, they go down to Egypt to survive the famine, more or less. While they were there, Abram lies about Sarah, denying that she is his wife. Pharaoh takes her. God intervenes, preventing things from happening. But when it's revealed to Pharaoh what has taken place, Abram and Lot are kicked out of the country. And so then you come to Genesis chapter 13. And in our message series in our church, we looked at this from the standpoint of growing after failure. You know, after we, like Abraham, have failed in some way, how to grow past that. But looking at this chapter, I also saw how it was a tremendous, wonderful message for us as we approached a new year. And it's how when we look at this passage, we see the priorities that ought to be ours as we face a new year. And so as we come to this 13th chapter, and as we think about New Year's, I want us to look at the priorities that we see in Abraham's life here, the priorities that his decisions clearly show. Because they're the priorities that we need in our life. And again, New Year's is a great opportunity to evaluate ourselves, see how we're living in light of those priorities, and to make any adjustments that need to be made. And so as we think about these priorities, and we're going to work our way through this chapter, we think, well, what are these priorities? What need to be the priorities for the new year, but the priorities for every single day of our life? That the new year just gives us an opportunity to look at ourselves. Well, the first opportunity needs to be that we need to seek the Lord. And by that I mean that we prioritize knowing Him, that we prioritize growing in Him. We prioritize finding out who He is, finding out about His ways, and living the way that He would have for us to live. Again, remember that Abram has now been, or that's how he's known at that point, I may still call him Abraham. Abraham and Lot have been kicked out of Egypt. And notice what happens in chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, going through verse 4. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife, and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the Negev as far as to Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Obviously, Abram returned to the land, But did you notice it wasn't just a return to the land, as important that as that was, because that's where God wanted him to be. That's the land that God's given to him and his descendants. But even more than the return to that land was, in fact, the return to God himself. Again, you think about verse 4. Where did he specifically return to? To the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Abram returned to seek God, to be where God told him to be where he had last met with God, to be where he could, in fact, commune with God, meet with God, hear from God, get God's guidance again. To get his life back on track, so to speak, he needed to get back with the Lord. As we think about the priority of our life, the priorities, the number one priority has got to be that we truly seek the Lord, that we, if we have drifted from him in some way like Abram, that we return unto him. If we're walking in fellowship, that we renew the commitment to walk with him. But that our desire is, in fact, to truly walk with the Lord. And we begin our life, a new year, each day, by seeking him. You know, what was it that our Lord said in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, you may have made some New Year's resolutions, and those are always fine and helpful. But is the number one goal, priority of your life, to seek the Lord, to know him, to know his ways, to know his mind, to know his heart, to be close to him, to follow him, to be near him, to be filled by him? Until we are living that way, we're missing, we're off on a tangent. We're off course. We need to seek the Lord. But not only do we see with Abram that we need to seek the Lord, but notice as well, we need to obey the Lord. Now, Abraham clearly shows us the importance of this. You recall, and we've already mentioned it in the summary a few moments ago, back in chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." God had made it very clear to separate from your relatives. But still in chapter 12, we drop down and we read verse 4. "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him." Everything sounds great up to this point. "And Lot went with him." Now, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. You think about that. And Lot went with him. God had made it very clear to separate from his father's household, and yet Abraham took Lot with him. Now, we can make all kinds of guesses as to why. Felt responsible for his nephew, whose father died, loved his nephew. Felt in a patriarchal society that it was his duty, his obligation. We can make all kinds of, we can speculate, and we're never really told specifically why. But the point is the fact that God had told Abram to separate from his father's household. And here it is, he took Lot with him. But then notice what happens now when we come into chapter 13 and we read verses 5 through 9. "Now Lot went with Abram. He also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left.'" Notice the key phrase, mindset there. They could not dwell together. This is apparently why the famine was so bad for them. You get the impression, because you read this, there's no mention whatsoever of the famine being finished, being complete. It seems as if, and granted, the scriptures never come out and state this explicitly, but the issue seems to be that God caused this famine to come just so he could, in fact, bring about his will of separating Abraham from Lot. And Abraham had been reluctant to do that, and so even ran down to Egypt, left the land that God had told him to be in, lied about Sarah, got kicked out. Certainly not one of the highlights of the example of faith. Not a highlight of his life. But when they get back, apparently the famine is still taking place, and this time he's going to obey the Lord and allow the separation to come forth. And we see so much there about Abraham. You think of the character, the graciousness. He allows Lot to make the choice. Again, it's a patriarchal society. Abraham simply could have made the choice, Lot, you go this way, and in that society, that's what Lot would have been expected to have done. You see his graciousness. You see his trust in the Lord. Lot, you choose. We need to separate, but you choose which way to go. But you think about the point here. Abraham is now obeying the Lord. God had made it clear he wanted this separation. Abraham had delayed, created all kinds of problems. Now Abraham is willing and desiring to obey the Lord. If we're going to experience God's guidance, his strength, his nearness, his blessing on this new year, on this day that we're living in, there needs to be the desire and the commitment of our heart to obey him. In fact, it is talking about how New Year's is a great time for us to evaluate our lives. It's time for us to look at our life and see if there's some area of disobedience in our life. Now, maybe, like Abraham, something that God's led us to do and we've tried not to do it, we've been reluctant. Or it may be some sin that we've allowed in our life, and it may be an action, it may be words that we say or a speech pattern that we have, what we talk about. Might be what we allow on our minds, what we allow our imaginations to stew over, whatever the case may be. It's time for you and I to look at those things, confess them unto the Lord, and seek his grace and strength to begin walking in obedience. As we come into the new year, our whole attitude and desire needs to be that we will in fact follow the Lord, that we go into the new year doing what God would have for us to do. We need to live in obedience. If we're going to experience his blessing for the year, we need to seek him. We need to obey him. But then look what else we see. And we move on into the decision that was made and as far as the separation and why it was made. We need to love the Lord. Now, understand what I mean by love. I don't just mean an emotional feeling. And certainly we've all had wonderful times of worship or times where we have sensed the closeness of God and have just the emotional feeling has just been overwhelming within us. Those are real, certainly, not taken away from that. But the concept, when we talk about loving the Lord as we see it in God's Word, such as in Deuteronomy 6:5, where it tells us that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. It's talking about what moves us, what controls us, what dictates what we will or will not do with our hands, what dictates what we will or will not allow to be on our minds, what controls what will or will not come out of our mouth. We are to love the Lord, give him our allegiance, our obedience, our desire to obey, our desire to be close to, so that he is the authority and he controls, and it is he who must be pleased in all that we do or don't do, as the case may be. And this is where you begin to see a very fundamental difference between Abraham and Lot. And you begin to wonder if this isn't why God wanted that separation and was so serious about that separation. Now, don't misunderstand me. Lot was a believer. Sometimes we might wonder that, and we see how his life choices, but 2 Peter 2:7 refers to him as a righteous man. So he was truly a believer. But when he was given the decision as far as which way to go, look at how he made his decision. Look at verses 10 through 13. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all of the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, and sinners against the Lord. Look at where Lot chose to live. You know, when you study through the Old Testament, Egypt represents the world, and by world I mean man, society, or system. that at the very least ignores God, acts like he doesn't exist, more often than not deliberately rebels against him. Now we know from also from the scriptures that Satan is the one over this world system. And so when I talk about world here, I'm not talking about the trees and the grass and the planets. Those have been created by God to give him glory and to testify of his existence and his sovereign power. We're not talking about the mass of humanity, for John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." When we mention world and we've used it in this context, we're talking about man's society, man's culture. Again, at the very least, it ignores God, more often than not rebels against God. And God's word makes it very clear what drives and moves this world system. You think about what we read over in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, where we're told, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world," and this is what drives this world system, man's society, culture, apart from God, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." And so Lot, as he looks around, deciding where to live, he says, that reminds me of Egypt. Again, reminds me of this world system. And think about what it's built upon, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. Apparently while Lot, and maybe even before that, but apparently while he was in Egypt, he liked what he saw. The niceties, the refinement, the culture, the place of status and prestige. The place, where if you're it, you're there. And this is what those people who are it pursue and have and do. That's what drove Lot. And as he looked at these cities, he was in fact moved toward them and said, "They remind me of Egypt." All that refinement, the niceties, the culture, all that looks so good to the eyes of man, that is in fact what I want. Now, it's very easy for us to think, well, what's the big deal about wanting those things or loving those things? Well, obviously it goes beyond our time here today, but look at how Lot ended up. Before it was over with, he, lost everything he had that he supposedly gained while living in Sodom. And look at the compromise he was willing to get into, because he was willing to live even in Sodom, but he lost all that he had accumulated, lost his wife, that is his marriage, lost all of his children one way or another. His two daughters, when you continue reading through Genesis, because they lived down to the level that he exposed them in there in Sodom by compromising, by trying to have the things of the world. You look at Lot's compromise, and again, you can't help but wonder, this is not why God wanted to bring that separation from Abraham away between Abraham and Lot. God knew that he had to get Abraham away from Lot so that he could mold him and shape him. Lot loved the world. But notice what we see about Abraham. Go back to verse 12. Abram settled in the land of Canaan. Again, that place to which God had called him, separated from the influences of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities there, separated unto God, and that concept of separation always has both the from and the to. But Abram loved the Lord, and he sought to know him, to walk with him, to be filled by him, to be guided by him. As we move into this new year, and again, new year is a great opportunity for us to evaluate ourselves, because it is so easy to become like a Lot. To, yes, be a believer, but to really love this world system and to pursue it, to live like it, to want all of its refinements and all of its culture and all of its niceties, to be in that place of status and to be in that place of prominence, to be in that place that is it, and to be looked upon as, someone who has arrived, and allow those things to cool our devotion and our allegiance, our obedience unto the Lord, how we need to be like Abraham and live for him. Now, don't get me wrong. Abraham was not an isolated person. Keep reading the book of Genesis and you'll find out where his neighbors were even willing to ally themselves with him going to war that apparently wasn't even their fight. They had that much respect for him. Abraham obviously bought and sold and traded and had the respect of those who were around him. He was a salt. He was a witness. He was salt and light, even at this early point in his walk. We're not talking about an isolating ourselves, but we're talking about a very real separation of the heart. Abram loved the Lord. As we go into this new year, we need to love the Lord and we need to seek him. But then notice number four, we need to follow the Lord. Notice what happens after the separation, verses 14 through 18. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." Then Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. God told Abram to go and to explore the land, and Abraham followed the Lord in doing so. You know, as we look at this new year, it's almost like Abram looking, you know, in this experience. It's almost as if God's telling us to go and explore the land, follow him as he leads so that he can reveal to us his plan and his purpose. But that means that we need to follow him. Again, going back to seeking him, but following him as he leads. You know, we think about the new year and we think about, well, you know, I need to make some decisions about this year, and great opportunity to do so. But those decisions that we make really need to be the submissive response into following the Lord as the one who makes the decisions. We need to follow him through this year. You know, there's the chorus, the song we sometimes sing in our fellowship, you know, step by step. That ought to be how we live our lives. That step by step we follow him. And that ought to be our plan as we go through the year. Lord, guide me this day. I want to follow you. Abraham got a fresh new start. Again, we looked at this in our church. It was growing past failure. But the lessons so beautifully apply to us as we begin a new year. I hope as you face this new year that you will in fact seek the Lord, that you will in fact obey him, that you'll love him, and that you'll follow him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you so much, O God, for this day. Lord, for the opportunity to look at a new year. And Father, may we take this time to evaluate our life and our walk before you. And Lord, may we live out these lessons, O God, and become who you want us to be in this year, accomplish what you want us to accomplish. O God, to be the people who walk with you. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a wonderful celebration of our Lord's birth, even now, what technically a week later. But also hope that you have not just a happy new year, but a wonderful year of blessing as you walk with the Lord.